Welcome back to RSN Central. We're live with the legend of the game, Simon Vivian, who is conducting his final sales here in Melbourne, mate. I heard your kick-off proceedings once again on day two. Are you going to miss it?
Gareth, you're always going to miss things like this, but you've also got to know when it's time to make a move, just a change of direction. So that's all I'm doing. Look, it's been a fantastic journey. I've been in this industry for over 40 years now, and been at Inglis now for 16. So it's been fantastic. I'm looking forward to concluding a successful premier sale and then heading to Sydney for an Easter sale and taking time.
Simon, this sale is obviously close to your heart. You're the manager of the Inglis office here in Melbourne. What were your feelings after day one with an 83% clearance rate, $27 million gross? That must have put a smile on your face.
Look, it's funny because you're always liking a little bit more. I was obviously delighted that some very close friends of mine in Robert and Sylvie Crabtree and Philip and Paddy Campbell with the $1.1 million yielding was a real thrill for me. I was so pleased that they achieved that result. The clearance rate was very good. It worked its way out through the day, which was great, and an aggregate and an average that I was very pleased with. So delighted. If we can maintain that for the balance of the premier session, I'll be delighted.
What about here? We're just behind the scenes here as these yieldings are about to go into the sales ring. Do you see the nerves from the vendors and the owners? Because in a matter of 2 minutes, it could be a life-changing experience for these people.
Look, when you think about it, they start planning their matings 3 years before they sell. So the matings for 2021 are being thought about by your breeders now. So it's a three-year journey, and then we give them 90 seconds in the ring. So, yes, when you see the intensity and the nervousness of the vendors, it's really quite apparent. I know that once the sale starts, the minute that lot one comes into the ring, it's a bit like a champagne cork popping. It's almost the release of pressure has come, because up until then they are very nervous.
One of the very best auctioneers this game's seen. So when you get up there and these horses are going through, do you listen to the vendors? You obviously spend a lot of time with them. What's your main aim when you start auctioning off a horse?
Well, what you've done, we've looked at these horses several times, but most importantly, we've looked at them in the last week. So that way, when you look at them, you make your notes. We have a scoring system, which we use as an Inglis scoring system, but it gives me a pretty good indication of what I thought of the horse personally. We also do an estimate of value, and we tend to be a little bit on the conservative side. But then the first thing that happens is, as I turn the page over, I get written on the catalogue page what the reserve is. That's a lot of the time the first time we find a reserve. So, you know, your intent is to try and get to that reserve. You know, the actions of an auctioneer and the hopes of an auctioneer is always to be able to drop the hammer. We all hate passing them in. That's one of our absolute great frustrations. So when you get a chance to drop the hammer down, that's what you're aiming for.
And I guess with your experience in this game, you know a lot of the buyers, the trainers, the syndicators, obviously some of the big owners. Can you work and know their traits regarding I can get an extra 2,000 to 5,000, maybe 10,000 out of them? And how fun is it when there is a bidding duel against a couple of the major players in this game?
Well, a bidding duel is fantastic, because usually a bidding duel is taking place when you've gone past the reserve, so you know you're actually on a winner all the way, and it's a matter of just trying to keep people going at that level. People do have their own body language, which is always a really interesting thing to do. You can sit back and you can see whether somebody has still got one bid left in them, or when they've actually pulled out and when they've had enough. So you're watching all of those sorts of things. But the little idiosyncrasies that various vendors show, some will actually be seated around the auditorium, but they'll stand up to bid. So you think, oh, well, we've got somebody showing a bit of interest here. So you're paying attention to all of those little things, because you're trying to get the best result. It's amazing how somebody will often indicate to you that they've actually had their last bid. You can tell by their body language that there's still one more there. So you just got to do a little bit of coaxing, a little bit of cuddling. And this Melbourne ring, because we've got such great eye and voice contact with those respective buyers, gives us such a great chance to be able to get that extra bid. And that's what a vendor really appreciates.
With Simon Vivian here live from the Oakland Junction complex here for the Melbourne Inglis Premier Sale. And Simon, we've got to have a chat. We're going to have a chat to Luke Simpson from Glentree Farm. And lot 299, everybody's talking about this colt by done deal. He's going to take us in behind the inner sanctum in a way and go through his emotions before and after the sale. How do you think he would be feeling as we speak? Because he's be sending around a horse that everybody's talking about when you arrive here at the sales complex.
You're quite right, Gareth. Look, Luke would know that that colt is probably one of the 10 colts that has been the most talked about. And with all of that comes an expectation. The hardest thing is to try and determine where you want to go. And what I often say to a vendor when they'll ask us what they believe they should put on as a reserve, those sorts of horses are probably the easy ones to put a reserve on because the market is very fair. We've got a great buying bench at that level. So the simple thing is for me that would be to say to Luke, go in there, put a reserve on it of maybe a couple of $100,000 because the horse should fly past that and just enjoy the ride because they're the good ones to watch. You know that there's going to be plenty of action, plenty of activity. You want to see all the bidders step up to the fray, have a swing, and hopefully down the track we see a very, very good racehorse.
What lots are you looking forward to most?
He's probably as much as anything. I'm looking forward to him going through. There's a reduced choice also of Glen Trees that I think will be an exciting horse. There's a very nice Sebring filly of Blue Gums out of a mare called Shamalia that I think will sell very well. But look, I think it's just really at the end of the day, you're looking forward to selling anything that's going to find its way into the marketplace. So I'm pretty balanced on that.
You spent 44 years in this wonderful game. Why do you love it so much?
I think that the easiest way to sum that up, Gareth, is that this is actually a people business. Horses just happen to be the common denominator. So for me, the range of different people that you get to meet, because on a racetrack or in a sale yard, pretty much everybody is even. I appreciate that some people have got more money than others, but what you do get to do is you get to meet people that, if you were a plumber or an electrician, you probably don't get the opportunity to meet that vast array of different types of people. So for me, it's definitely been the people that keep me in it. I said the other day that I don't treat the Victorian the vendors as clients, they're more as friends, and I enjoy mixing with them socially, and I love selling for them. I love seeing them get good results, but equally I love seeing, we've got a great bunch of trainers here in Victoria. So when a mate like Robbie Griffiths or Peter Moody buys a horse and has success on the racetrack, I get as big a thrill out of that as I could do when I sell one for a lot of money for a vendor. So it's the people that make this go.
And you should be proud, Simon, because there's not a bad word said about you, and obviously the respect goes both ways, but you need the integrity and respect in this game to have the success that you've had over the four decades.
Look, I've been lucky. I was coached by a very good man when I started back in 1977, a man called David Coles, who taught me, firstly, a very strong work ethic, but also he taught me that how important it was to mix with people. I think one of his first lessons to me was the best way to do business with your clients is make sure you get your knees under their kitchen table. And that was a lesson that once you get invited inside and you can have a sandwich or a cup of coffee with your clients, then you're making progress. And that's something that I've taken through as a lesson right through. And I'm very, very keen to see young people pursue that same practice.
It's a pleasure talking to you, Simon. I think Lot 299 is not far away, so we'll catch up with Luke, but the best of luck for the final couple of days here, mate. You're a legend of the game, and enjoy Melbourne and then Sydney, and hopefully we'll catch up with you for a cold drink next year when you can relax.
Oh, thanks, Gareth. Really appreciate your interest. Thanks, mate.
There's Simon Vivian, a legend of the game. This is